Okay, here's something out of Genesis. Okay, Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Okay, the Lord, of course, is speaking to Abraham, says, "For I know Abraham, for I know him that he will command his children," which has to do with he'll instruct and guide them in this knowledge, as he did with Isaac, okay, and also with Jacob. "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him." Okay, the same thing we'll be doing during the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, we'll be commanding the offspring, that not only those which proceed out of us, but also those which are, okay, conversant, okay, within the regions of our responsibility or providences, okay, whereas we will govern them as holy ones. Okay, we will command them, instruct and guide them in the faith, knowing that near the end of 1,000 years, Satan will be released again in order to try the hearts. "So he will command his children after him that they will keep the way of the Lord." Of course, the word way right there, the way, which has to do with the prophetic path. Okay, the prophetic path is setting our feet, okay, in the direction of a true hope. Okay, a true hope and a real promise. Okay, and this is to do justice and judgment. Okay, to weigh things fairly. Okay, and execute policy. Which, of course, we can see that they did. "That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Okay, being that which is eternal seed. Okay, now that was taken from Genesis 18:19. But let's read another one here from Genesis. Genesis 22:17-18. We see the blessedness here. Okay, if you want to make a note on that. Genesis 22:17-18. Okay, the word blessedness. Okay, and this is what he says here, that blessing, that's the blessedness or the sign and token which God put upon the brow of all the righteous. Okay, this baptism of fire, this fire charity, okay, which accompanies all the righteous. Okay, accompanies the righteous, not the ungodly. Okay, those which are ungodly, okay, don't bear the blessedness of Abraham. Okay, their reflection is upon precept and line, okay, in biblical history, but it's not based and rooted within stewardship and priesthood. Okay, that which is working with the covenant. Well, here we go. Genesis 22:17-18. "That blessing I'll bless you." Okay, the Lord includes himself. Okay, he includes himself. This is for reciprocation. "That blessing, that which I give you." Okay, "that blessing I will bless you." This is your form of reciprocation, as grace upon grace, faith upon faith, righteousness upon righteousness, justification upon justification. Okay, the tethering of these elements help us to identify ourselves with God. "That blessing I will bless you." So God is initiating this. Okay, "for God so loved the world." I mean, he initiated this for the purpose of birthing an offspring of holy ones that will be equal to himself to carry on his tradition. We're going to be carrying on our Father's tradition of lightness through all dimensions, throughout all eternity, as kings and priests, as we oversee in judgment, correction, okay, and a point of contact for priesthood. Okay, these are things which we're learning right now, okay, in our earthly responsibility. Okay, denying that which is the voice of the record of man, to embracing that which is the voice of the record of God, which is Jesus Christ. "Set blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I'll multiply you." That's interesting. Okay, the mating process, okay, begins with this grace. So the anointing assists us within this transition from darkness to light, from dust to life. Okay, from the things of dust to the things of life, beauty. "So that blessing I'll bless you, multiplying I'll multiply you." This is a tether of your soul. Okay, beginning that which is at these waters. "Now multiply you as a seed, your seed as the stars of heaven, a sandwich upon a seashore," which of course is innumerable. Okay, so our Lord is identifying two dimensions of fire and water, which is represented in stars and sand. Okay, which has to do with from lowness to greatness, from shame to honor. He endured the shame, okay, despising the contradiction, made higher than the heavens. This is the policy which God has set for the righteous, our destiny. Okay, our destiny is to face this contradiction, overcome. In fact, we'll be talking more about that, about the shadow of turning, which Chief Elder James brings out for us. Okay, and he goes on here, "as the stars of heaven, a sandwich upon a seashore, from littleness to greatness, from lowness, okay, to, okay, that which is that which is praiseworthy. Upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." Okay, and this is what we'll be doing during the millennial reign, okay, as well as also the baptism of light. As if you let Christ sit within the gate of your conscience, the gate or on the throne of your conscience, then he also allow you to sit in his throne in the gate of his conscience. Okay, that's the destiny of the baptism of light. Okay, that's the place where we'll be carrying on, okay, the tradition of this illumination and the tradition of disgrace. Your seed should possess the gate of his enemies. Okay, this is which has to do as a discerner. Even as the king sat in the gate of the city, he was a discerner, okay, of all strangers and passerbyers, okay, and also a place of court, okay, where people would bring their grievances, okay, before the king. This is what Absalom observed. This is what Absalom also coveted after, and this is also Absalom's stumbling block. Okay, it was not appointed to him. It was the promises appointed to one of his younger brothers called Solomon. Okay, but Absalom was going to take it by force, as we can see in the Cain attitude. The Cain attitude was to overthrow the faith of his brother Abel. Okay, and we can see this in the Cain attitudes of the unconverted believers today. And the gate of his enemies. Okay, and also, we go on here, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Okay, well, we don't see this unfolding at this present time, because this is a time of darkness. Okay, God appointed the time of darkness to this earth. Okay, for the purpose of birthing this contrast for our faith to be rewarded. If it wasn't for the contrast, okay, then where's the reward? Okay, only those that run for the mastery, run a race, run according to the rules. This is for the mastery, obtain dominance. When you run a race, you want to obtain dominance to finish. So in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And that's going to take place during the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, this will be fulfilled in its fullness. Okay, but right now the promise, okay, is within the seeding of your soul. Okay, as he begins his divine work within your soul, he's preparing you for this expression, the expression of his image and likeness during the millennial reign, okay, as well as also in the baptism of light following the third covenant and also following the rewards ceremony, okay, which take place on a great white throne judgment day. Okay, where all the sinners which embraced the things which are praiseworthy of the flesh will be put to shame when they see the countenance, the light and countenance of our Lord, okay, rewarding us with enormous, okay, and brilliant tokens, okay, which we will carry, okay, within the baptism of light. In your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. They're going to benefit from the blessedness which we bear. Because, why? You have obeyed my voice. Okay, you followed through with this revelation. You worked and labored with the anointing. This is what the Lord's teaching us today. As he taught also the first eighth week, he's also instructing that those of the second eighth week. Okay, that we were born in this period of time, okay, in order to observe this fulfillment, just like those which were born a time when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, walked on the earth. There's times that we yearn to be back in that first century so that we could bear witness to this, but to bear witness to that, you still have yet 2,000 years ahead of you. Okay, so the glory, okay, the glory of that which is last will far exceed that which is of the first. Okay, and we're going to jump into here the book of Ephesians. Okay, as the rest of the saints begin coming in. Okay, take your seat, okay, and open your Bibles there to Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, and we'll be starting around verse 27. Then we'll be jumping over from Ephesians to the book of James, the chief elder James there. And we're going to see some more things or more expounding on this concerning the shadow of turning. All right. Everybody should be there now. All right, here he goes on in verse 26. We'll start with verse 26 here. Be you angry and sin not. Okay, we'll talk about that just for a moment. Okay, why would he say be angry and that you sin not? It says, we all feel the frustrations of our infirmities and our frailties. We feel the frustrations of those things. Because as gods put in the form of the flesh, we desire to have that full expression without any restriction. But now we can understand what it means. I'm crucified with Christ. Because Jesus was God in the flesh. Okay, experiencing the restricted form of one that's born of Adam. Okay, as one born of Adam. Okay, the frustration, the contradiction, the challenges, okay, which are presented to us even upon our birth. Okay, and he says, be you angry and sin not, because we're going to feel the frustration. We feel the frustration to avoid the offense. Okay, we don't want to build with that. We want to build with grace. Be angry and sin not. Don't resource the kingdom of darkness in order to try to establish a religious principle, okay, which we can see in a false religious system. The false religious system wants to establish a religious principle, and it's with that religious principle okay, that they also go through the cycles of flagellation, okay, for repentance and renewal. Okay, in other words, they go through a form of repetition, which only brings them back to the starting point. There's no increase in that. The seed doesn't take root at all. That illumination which they have received, okay, doesn't take root. Okay, it has to go through the form of progression in order to gain the fruit from the root to the fruit. Okay, so the seed which has been implanted within us is now being, okay, nurtured, watered, and fed, okay, with the Spirit and with truth. And this is what the Father seeks. He seeks those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay, it's by this anointing and expression, this knowledge, okay, which we do in the assembly. This is our communication. Okay, we communicate Christ through this charity. Okay, this fire charity. Okay, and every sacrifice should be salted with salt. Okay, and every sacrifice should be salted with fire. Okay, as our Lord brings to the attention of the Jews in the first century there. Okay, be angry and sin not. Don't allow Satan to inflame the matter, but rather give place to prayer, to rest your conscience from this guilt. So be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, Satan sowed within the state of your soul, because when we were in the kingdom of darkness, okay, we also, our conscience was asleep, put into a trance, which allowed the adversary, okay, to sow his mischievous tokens, were sown in us while we're sleeping. Okay, were sown in us while we were in a trance. Okay, it's like an individual being in a state of sleep, being manipulated. That is without the person's knowledge or consent. Okay, he's sowing within them things which they would never consent to if they knew what the truth was. Okay, but because their minds are darkened and walking in that, okay, in that state or under that cloud or shadow, okay, they are victims of their own ignorance. Okay, and the gospel which we preach is to bring them out of the cave of darkness, okay, into His marvelous light. And why is it marvelous? Because we begin to see things from a brand new day and perspective as the sun rises. It's like enduring a long night, okay, staying awake all night, okay, enduring a long night only to wait for the break of day, okay, which gives you a renewed vigoration, okay, to begin. So he says, be angry and sin not. So we're not resourcing that kingdom of darkness, okay, which we deliver from. And this is what Chief Elder John brings out. Write unto you, little children, that you sin not. And this is the same thing Paul said. Now, Paul was reflecting upon what Chief Elder John instructed. Paul did not draw these things, okay, out of his imagination or from a Levitical priesthood. Okay, these things were set within him, okay, in his experiences in the assemblies with the chief elders. As he sat in the assemblies with the chief elders, he saw and heard, okay, a form of knowledge that was packaged in a way, okay, he had never experienced before when he sat under Gamaliel, okay, under the Pharisaical schoolmasters. Okay, all they did is preach precept and line. They preached culture and history, Jewish history. Okay, all it did was inflame a form of fanaticism for the race, for the culture, and for the tradition. And we can see that it inflamed it mostly when he took vengeance against Christians. Okay, as Saul took vengeance against Christians, thinking that he was actually upholding the will of God. When he found out, he wasn't upholding the will of God. But God was considering him as a thorn. Okay, he was not the wheat. Okay, he was a thorn. Okay, so he goes on here. That's why Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, okay, being a thorn yourself. Okay, you're persecuting the wheat. You're persecuting, okay, the fruits of my vintage. You're persecuting those things. Now I'm going to squeeze you, okay, and I'm going to bring out of you the voice of my life, and the expressions of my mercy will come through your lips now, beginning at this point. Okay, so be you angry and sin not. And not the sun go down upon your wrath. Why does he say the sun go down? Okay, because he's talking about us considering that as a conclusion of this time. Don't walk with the perspective of this world unto the conclusion of time. Okay, that is unto your death. That's the conclusion of time. Because upon death, time is concluded for you, and you enter to a state of eternity, either through the broad way or the broad gate, the wide gate, or the narrow gate. Okay, so be you angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay, don't give place to its presence, but rather give place to prayer. This is for you to enter into your rest from your guilt. You're not building with that anymore. You're not building with your past. The scriptures bear out that you're born again, which means okay, that which is before no longer exists. Okay, in the minds of others, it exists. Okay, that's because they're building with it. But we're no longer building with those things of our past. We're building with that which is of the present, the anointing. This is what the Lord was teaching the children of Israel through the stewardship of Moses. Okay, that they obey the voice of the Lord through the stewardship. Because through the stewardship, okay, the stewardship would give this direction. Okay, whether to pitch your tents, okay, or to really take down your tents. Also the construction, the design, pattern of the okay, of the Ark of the Covenant, the tokens of the tabernacle. Okay, given through the stewardship, given by God to his angels to provide this document and gave it to Moses. Okay, the inspiration of it is very deep and unfathomable. Okay, because it bore all the letters of his name, okay, in the design of the tabernacle. The functions of the priesthood, the manner of the sacrifices, the attendances of the altar. Okay, all the instruments that were used, okay, and the incense, the anointing oil, procedures of these things, all these things put together, okay, was now going to frame the image of God in the flesh. Okay, it pointed to him. So be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, let's go to verse 27, which we're starting today. Neither give place to the devil. That's an easy verse to remember. Okay, that means don't stand in Satan's shadow. That's to justify him. See, but by this offense, Adam also lost the light of paradise. When Adam stood to Satan's shadow, it brought offense. It brought offense to God. It was a transgression. Because Adam's eyes were open, and this he took willingly. But Eve was found in the transgression. Okay, leading to the counsel of the serpent. Of course, the counsel of the serpent, okay, sounded very logical to her. Of course, it's set within the perimeters, okay, of being a god. You mean I can escape, okay, the restrictions of this body, okay, at the end of this dimension, that I can ascend with the angels, I can partake of the Kedusa, okay, with the angels and the hosts of heaven, without restriction, of course. Now, Satan knew that, because Satan also participated within that before he fell in the Kedusa. His presence was necessary. Okay, he had to go through due order. Okay, a due order of purging, of cleansing by fire. Okay, and that all the angels had to do that. They had to go through the rivers of fire. Okay, the purging. They had to dipping their tongues, being baptized. Okay, within that fire, and putting on the proper garments. Some one crown, some two crowns, and some three crowns. Okay, and also adorn themselves with hesmalim, shining in bright garments of light. Okay, which also identified their particular station, position, okay, within the tiers of the courts, okay, of the presence of God in his temple, okay, which is rather enormous. We think of it as something that's, that it can only hold 50,000 people. Now, the courts of the Lord extend way beyond that, okay, that which is just 50,000 people. All right, so here he says, it's here, neither give place to the devil. You're not justifying your doubt now, but rather we're supposed to justify Christ. Okay, well, let's jump over to the book of James. Let's read some more there. Okay, in the book of James, chapter 1. Okay, and of course, James identifies the same process and challenges, doesn't he? When he talks about that, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. These are points of challenge, okay, which Satan approaches you with. Hey, whether it be through the lips of a person or a circumstance. Jesus said of himself, you are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I counted about seven of them. Okay, or seven instances. Okay, seven recorded instances. Okay, of challenges which Jesus faced. Because Satan knew that the direct approach to Jesus to tempt him, okay, was rather futile. Okay, mostly when Jesus says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Then Satan now, okay, withdrew from Jesus, okay, only to muse over, okay, as a cherub in the presence of a seraphim and another cherubim, in the presence of numerous angels that fell with him in his train, okay, he counseled with him, okay, and they all agreed, We know that we can't get to God in a direct route. Let's attack those things which he loves. Okay, and that's what they did. Okay, that's why the Pharisees were conversant with Jesus at first and with his disciples. The Pharisees, okay, with Satan used, okay, were continually children of doubt. Okay, children of doubt. Because doubt is a child of Satan. Okay, and through this union, it births more doubt. Okay, if doubt is a child of Satan, then all those that were engaged with the Spirit also produce the offspring. Sedition, double-mindedness, hearsay, variance, emulation. Okay, all that follows through this form of union with the wrong spirit called the seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. My brethren, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Okay, coming to these particular challenges. Okay, certain challenges are assigned to you in particular times. So Satan departed from Jesus for a season, but then he also came back to him. Okay, and when he come back to him, even when he was in the garden, okay, Satan was whispering in the ears of Judas Iscariot, go up and embrace him, kiss him. But this was a kiss of deception. It was a mark of iniquity. It wasn't a mark of charity. It was a mark of iniquity. Okay, such embracing, and Jesus knew that because he knew what spirit Judas Iscariot was laboring with. When he said, what you do, do it quickly. Okay, Jesus already knew those which would betray him. Okay, him which would betray him and those which would betray him. The 70 which departed from him, and the 12, okay, and 12 which were, which consented and remained consistent with him. Okay, now we jump over here to verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, chief elder James is instructing those under his stewardship. We've got to keep that in mind. James, a servant of God and Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he says, he's not saying James, servant of God and of Moses. He says, James, a servant of God and of Lord Jesus Christ. He's identifying with this covenant. Okay, with this covenant, as James, the brother of John, or also James, the brother of Judas, which is also the brother of Jesus. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Okay, where is this erring? Okay, it has to do with concerning those things which are being presented to them, particularly doctrinal challenges. Okay, the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, the deeds of Nicolaitans. Okay, the deeds of Nicolaitans is the tithing, the water baptism, the physical communion, physical circumcision, physical Sabbath days, okay, to name a few, as well as also hair length, garment length, okay, and also, sitting issues, women on one side, men on the other side, sitting issues, okay, also the issues regarding gender issues. Okay, the gender issues. Okay, all that, so you could find that under the doctrines and deeds of Nicolaitans. Okay, which the false religious system, okay, identifies with and stands in today, particularly tithing. They want to identify with the law, which works the curse, and that which works death. Okay, because after sin is death. So do not err, my beloved brethren, as concerning what shadow you're following. Okay, well, let's see here. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Let's start, go to verse 17 here. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, when he says, highlight the word good gift there, because it's talking of that which also bears his, which is wholesome. All right, every good gift or his tokens are wholesome and heal the soul. It heals the soul of Satan's inequities. Everything Satan gave us in the kingdom of darkness produced another paradox in inequity. Because it always bordered upon fear and suspicion. Fear and suspicion, as Cain did. Now, when Cain leaned towards Satan's counsel, okay, it was against his brother, fear and suspicion. It drove him to compete. Okay, it drove him to compete and also to resolve, okay, the conflict with murder. Resolve the conflict. Well, this is what he's going to do. If he can't dominate, then he's going to destroy. Now, as a god, he was leaning to wrong counsel. Now, Abel was a god, okay, of course, in the form of flesh, as we are also gods, as the scripture bears that out. Have not I said ye are gods, and all you the children of the Most High? Okay, Jesus quoted that same scripture when he was conflicting, okay, with the Pharisees. Have not I said ye are gods, and all you the children of the Most High? Okay, written by the Spirit, the anointing that was upon King David, okay, in the book of Psalms there. Okay, the Spirit is making known these things. Okay, the Spirit is making known these mysteries. Now, how is it that even though we're as gods, we're in such restrictions, restricted form of time, to sleep, to need. Remember, Jesus fell asleep. Jesus also ate. Okay, Jesus also felt pain. Okay, because God was manifest in the flesh. From the position of the throne, there was no limitations upon his imagination and faith. That is concerning God. Okay, but now becoming in the form of the flesh, as a vessel of flesh, with these limitations. Okay, you can see the challenges. Jesus, being baptized of the Spirit, was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So we can see that Satan also is contributing to the challenge for fruit bearing and choice. Okay, for choice of will and for fruit bearing. Okay, that's why his presence is in this dimension. His presence is only allowed in this dimension for this divine work. Okay, though Satan will not be rewarded for it, because everything that he offers is in contradiction. And competition of it, called Antichrist, okay, counterfeit Jesus. Okay, so every good gift, that which is wholesome and brings healing, okay, every good gift and every perfect gift, highlight that, perfect gift, because it works faith, is from above. And these are God's tokens of propitiation, okay, which also Chief Elder John brings out. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, 1 John 2, verse 2. And he is a propitiation for our sins, not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we can see that that God's gift of light and life, okay, is a provision which he's made promise to both consenter and protester. Both consenter and protester. This is what he promised to all souls in the Father's bosom before we were selected to the region and the body which we were born into. Okay, whatever culture it is, whatever body that we're in, whether male or female. Okay, these were the things which all souls, okay, bore witness to. Which knowledge was put in a capsule, okay, like a time capsule, and set within a conscience of every soul, only to be awakened when it's watered with his grace, to give witness to that which was revealed in the Father's bosom. So every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. See the word from above there. And comes down from the Father of lights, which has to do with the tokens of his propitiation, which bear his light, which angels look into, the ministering spirits, which, of course, the Apostle Paul brings out. He's in agreement with Chief Elder James. Okay, what he says, are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth the minister for them, who shall be the heirs of salvation. Okay, Hebrews 1:14. Okay, which has to do with diverse manners, many ways, diverse manners, which God communicated, which now all spirits confirm Christ, which he brings out Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. Okay, he has in these last days provided for us these things. Okay, the tokens now which point to Jesus Christ and this covenant. Okay, not to Moses and the tokens of his covenant. Okay, which would be tithing and a physical temple, the slaughtering of ignorant animals, okay, the shedding of that blood, and the consumption of the flesh, okay, and drinking of the wine. Okay, all that is under that covenant. And it works death. It doesn't bring illumination. It doesn't settle the conscience. It doesn't purify the conscience. It doesn't remove the guilt. And such flagellation is elusive to the carnal mind. I mean, they can't put their finger on it. What is wrong with my faith? What is wrong with my religion? What is wrong with my pastor? What is wrong with my church? Okay, or the pastor say, what is wrong with my congregation? That's because they're following the wrong shadow. So for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. I can remember the time when I was at a particular church there in the Sierra Mountains there in California. And I was attending an assembly there. And now this is the first time I began to see ministering spirits, lights, which were in the forms of, it was a form of an orb. Okay, and it was moving about around the people that were attending the assembly there. That's the first time I seen those. Okay, then when I went back to work, California, okay, of course I was doing janitorial work there at a factory and also at a high school. Okay, and then I was working okay, doing some custodial work there. Okay, I looked up and all of a sudden I saw these long forms. Okay, they weren't in the form of an orb, but it was a long form, like a wisp. like a wisp of wind. Okay, almost something you could say like a like it was like a whirlwind, but a whirlwind of light, which took a long form. Okay, and it was moving back and forth. I remember seeing one of those at a Catherine Kuhlman meeting. Okay, whereas she was pointing out people that were being healed of particular ailments. Of course, that's the spirit of angel of miracles and a miracle angel of healing, the gift of healing, gift of miracles. Okay, that has nothing to do with regeneration. That all has to do with how God elects to reveal, and to reveal Himself, to make Himself known. Okay, so and that's the first time I saw it in that manner. Of course, from there, from 40 years later, I'm still seeing them. Of course, also with the droplets of water. Okay, the droplets of water, which follow that, which was that one particular dream which I had when I woke up completely soaked in water. Okay, which of course was supernatural, because when I went back to bed, I was completely dry, and so were the sheets. It was completely dry. That's another vision of another time, which I can get more detail later on. Okay, we're talking about the shadow turning, according to the illustrations there, which we posted there in Facebook. Okay, every good gift and a perfect gift is from above. Okay, make sure you should highlight that by now, which comes down from the Father of Lights. This is the orb of His conscience, the throne, the Father of Lights, the orb, the origin, and the origin, the throne, the origin, and the orb, of His conscience, that comes down from the Father of Lights. Okay, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow turning. Okay, so coming from the throne of our Father, with whom is no variableness, which means, those that consent to His grace don't mix covenants. There's no variableness, no added spices. Okay, even as they which constructed, and mixed the incense and also the anointing oil. You were not to mix it, with other portions, or other spices than that which was specified, through the lawgiver, through the stewardship of Moses. The Lord said to Moses, and Moses also communicated that to the brethren, says, you make sure that you do everything just exactly as I specified. Okay, not to add any aspiration to it. Okay, not to spice it up for your own approval. You got to do it just exactly the way God wants it. Or else it's considered unclean. In other words, it being unsanctified, it will bring wrath upon you. Okay, so those which consider to His grace don't mix covenants to sow confusion, which hooks those that doubt. That those of doubt follow. Okay, those of doubt follow. That's the shadow of turning. Okay, and that's why the Lord says, turn not to right hand nor to left. Now, if you turn either way, to the right hand or to left, you're going to end back where you began, back to the beginning. That's why the children of Israel were not turned to the right hand nor to the left when you're following Moses. Okay, but because of transgression, the Lord looped them in the wilderness until they were purged. Okay, they were looped in the wilderness till they were purged. As they passed by that mount, one would say to another, hey, didn't we just pass this here just a few years ago? Hey, well, how come Moses promised to bring us into this promised land, and all I'm seeing is the same scenery we passed a year ago? Hey, there's a discrepancy here. What's wrong? Moses lied to us? No, Moses didn't lie. Okay, God selected, or elected this form of judgment until the purging process was completed, so that all those that passed over the river were those of faith. And all those that are raptured, and passed through the altar will be those of faith. Okay, if the fire of His anointing is engraved within you, engrafted within you, and engraved within your heart, which long commandments we keep, it qualifies us to pass through the altar of fire, through the courts of the temple, into the vortex or the door of the throne. Okay, walking into that which is of His light, the Father of Lights, by which we be with Him forever. Wherever the Lord is at, that's where we'll be. Okay, so make sure to highlight the word neither shadow turning. Okay, so we're not mixing covenants to sow confusion, which hooks those which are doubt. They're following doubt, double-mindedness, and then sedition follows that. Okay, sedition. They come to the logical conclusion that it's not working for them. When it's not working for them, that is the cloud of derision, a defiled conscience, and a seducing spirit. It's working in the voice of their own flesh. Okay, it's working the voice of the own flesh. The anointing doesn't work in the voice of our flesh. It works as concerning the voice of God. Okay, which, of course, it molds with the knowledge which you're receiving. Even as the showbread was prepared for the priest, and also the three-pronged hook put within the sacrifice. Okay, as it was seething in the pot. Okay, put within the meat, which would be for food for the priest and for his household. Okay, which three-pronged hook we use today, spiritually speaking. Okay, the three-pronged hook, which has to do with the time of power. Okay, we partake and we eat of Christ. Okay, which sustains our priesthood. Now, of his own will begat he us. Okay, let's go there in verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with what? With the word of truth. So I like the word of truth there. Okay, of his own will, which is his power and pleasure, he birthed a people, okay, from this power. The word begat there, okay, the word begat identifies, okay, that which was performed in a union. And so here the chief elder James is identifying, because of this spiritual union which you have with the Lord, okay, you're now expressing this, okay, in the form of life, which is your charity. The anointing that accompanies this knowledge gives life. Charity. Of his own will begat he us. With what? The word of truth. This is the seed of Christ. His eternal word. His pattern of faith. Okay, the word of truth. That we should be a kind. I like the word kind there. Because it goes back to the book of Genesis. We're created in his image and after his kind. Okay, which has to do with powers. Powers. Okay, his kindness, powers. Okay, each creature in this dimension is born after their parent. That means it possesses the powers. Okay, the bird, the powers of flight, or the deer, okay, the power of mobility, okay, the power of speed, like the cheetah, okay, the power of strength, okay, as a lion, okay, or the power of its own size, like the elephant. Okay, each creature possesses the power. Okay, which was assigned to its first parent when it was created by God and brought to Adam for identification process. Okay, identification process and labeling. Okay, whatever Adam named each creature, it was by the anointing. It was by God. That's God's image and likeness, see? We do that with charity. By charity, we're labeling this knowledge, this is Jesus Christ. This is Christ. Okay, of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We hide the word kind there, because we're reflecting in kind this virtue. We're reflecting in kind this virtue. Okay, that we are created by above all the beasts. Okay, the tokens of our adoption is to walk in his image and likeness as sons of God. Beloved, now are ye the sons of God. This is what chief elder John said. Okay, and James agrees to that, as well as also the Apostle Paul. Okay, beloved, now we're the sons of God. Now, does that yet appear we should be? Because we're in the form of, we're in the shell being developed as a chicken and the egg. We're being developed for greater things. So once we're hatched, okay, we walk in the freedom. Okay, we never go back to that shell. We couldn't even go back into it. Okay, back in that shell. Okay, so we're not going to enter back to the past. We can progress on to the future of what we were designed for. Okay, being that which is servants of our Lord, the offspring of his light, as light in the light. Okay, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Okay, because now we carry the tokens of this adoption. If we don't carry the tokens of adoption, how can we also enter into the reality of that inheritance, being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ? Now, you can't. And that's why I needed to possess the tokens of this adoption, beginning with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay, a language, the language of this kingdom is what we pray in and speak in, okay, in truth and verity. Okay, everything which God assigns to us is looped back to its origin, truth and verity. Okay, wherefore, my beloved brethren, he says in verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So wherefore, my beloved brethren, now that we're understanding the tokens of our adoption, the seal of our inheritance, and also the knowledge, okay, of the voice of God. The knowledge which we speak in charity is the voice of our Father. Okay, as we speak Christ one to another. So wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, that is his grace, slow to speak in contempt, and slow to wrath is concerning in his frustration. Okay, that's why he says, my brethren, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay, as Paul brings out. Okay, so here we'll be swift to hear his grace, but slow to speak in contempt, in our frustration, and slow to wrath. Because in our frustrations, okay, awaiting the crown, we're winning the crown now of his reward, the gift of his reward for our endurance and choices. Okay, even though at the present time, it's difficult, as Jesus also endured. Okay, Jesus endured it, okay, by providing us a record, and then he promised us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, the angel of my presence will always attend upon your needs. Okay, and he will follow through on this record, okay, which I give witness to, okay, which we all validate, because we all bear that testimony and we prophesy Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, because we're enduring to the end. Okay, we're enduring to the end for this crown, enduring to the end with long suffering and growth and patience of faith. In verse 20, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Well, where will the wrath of man be found? In the law. Because the law is a lever of control for the principle, the aspiration, the imagination. The law is used as a leverage of control. Whereas the grace of God serves our faith. God gives us grace in our service and reciprocation to him. So the angels are down here, okay, not for the purpose of dominating us, but the purpose of serving us, okay, as being heirs of God. We're under the schoolmaster, okay, of this instruction, of this tutorage. Okay, we're in the schoolmaster of this tutorage of his grace, which the servants of God, these powers, okay, work with us and we consent to. Okay, and by consenting to these things, which is binary, okay, so it's grace unto grace, wisdom unto wisdom, patience to patience. Okay, as also righteousness to righteousness, sanctification to sanctification, holiness to holiness, sanctification given, sanctification reciprocated, holiness given, holiness reciprocated, grace given, grace reciprocated, truth given, truth reciprocated. We are one with him, okay, as male and female. Okay, they're separate, yet they are one. Okay, and of course, okay, becoming that one, okay, is there's the birthing of the reality. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Okay, you can hide the word wrath of man, because the logic works with this carnal thinking. That's where the wrath of man is. Its roots are in that law. Okay, and that law frustrates him. The law frustrates because he's trying to bring perfection to the flesh by the law. Okay, but by the law, okay, is a knowledge of sin, okay, not righteousness. By the law, there's no purging of the conscience, but grace brings the purging of the conscience, okay, which the law cannot do. Now, if that law, which was given, could perform this task of the perfecting of the soul, the purging of the conscience, and the adoption, then why would Jesus have to come down here in the form of flesh to die on the cross and rise again, okay, in order to make this a reality? So we can see the futility, okay, of the logic of man. For the wrath of man, or his carnal thinking, it demands conformity to the principle, okay, which is not the true standard. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. And then he goes back, don't give place to the devil. This is to bend your perceptions toward yourself. And then at that point, to resist grace. That's why he says concerning strangers of the gospel. The strangers of the gospel are those believers which live among the heathen. They follow the vanities. They're falling away from God. Okay, so here we can see the same thing James is saying in James chapter 2, verse 1. Brethren, my brethren, have not the faith of Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Now let's go back to the book of Ephesians here. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, where you have your marker. Okay, so he goes on here. Did give place to the devil? Let him that stole steal no more, but let him rather work with his labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needs. So we talked about that. Okay, that means those that take to themselves will plundered by iniquity, and we're no longer building with the things of our ignorance. We're no longer building with anger, wrath, emulation. Of course, he brings that out in verse 31. So I'm jumping ahead here a little bit. Okay, as we'll be reading some of these things in Galatians chapter 5, okay, before our time runs out here today. Let not him that stole steal no more. We do not plunder by iniquity, because iniquity plunders, okay, but grace gives. Okay, the law plundered. We can see that in the book of Judges. Okay, when the children of Israel, okay, entered back into the land, okay, which was promised to Abraham and his seed, okay, which was only temporary, okay, which was temporary being earthy. There was a lot of plundering. Okay, there was a lot of pulling down and building up. Okay, there was a lot of wars among them, conflicts. Okay, so we can see the conflicts among them was a result of that law. Okay, that they were trying to settle these things through war, okay, as for the purpose of control, okay, to dominate or to control. So let him that stole steal no more. Okay, that's what he says, but let him labor, let him build now. Because those that plunder, plunder for the boast. But they that labor now with the anointing, okay, are boasting as of Christ, okay, not boasting of self, as Paul brings out. He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Okay, but we know in Romans chapter 4, where is boasting then? It's not founded, not in the grace of God. Okay, but we boast in his grace. We boast in his grace, but not by the law. Paul was bringing out these distinctions. Okay, where is boasting then? If we use the tokens that are earthbound, then our labor is in debt. Okay, our labor is in debt, and our boasting, of course, is not in Christ, but our boasting was in ourself. If Abraham could achieve those things apart from God, okay, then he would have boasting in himself and not another. Okay, as Romans 4 brings out. And we talked about these things earlier. But if it's by the power of God, then our rejoicing is in him alone. Okay, and not that which is the admiration of the flesh, the admiration of man, or those things which are praiseworthy of this world. Okay, those things which are being crucified to. Let him the soul steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. Let him labor. Okay, and that is at the altar. Where you're laboring at this altar. Let him labor, working with his hands at the altar. The thing, the tokens now which are provided for us, the thing, wholesome faith to complete the cycle. The thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needs. That's what you're doing as you're packaging together your charity. Okay, you're giving to him that needs. We're all feasting on that one table. We're all eating that one bread. That you may have to give to him that needs. To issue the edification of faith to the thirsty. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they should be filled. That's exactly what Jesus said. This is in the assembly, which is the true religion. Okay, because it bridles the soul from iniquity. Okay, true religion bridles the soul from iniquity. Okay, because it's set within the perimeters of truth. Okay, truth is the border or the fence line that makes distinction between that which is distinctions of ownership. Okay, distinctions of ownership, okay, are marked by boundary lines, fences, okay, or landmarks. It's put there for a purpose. Okay, and that's why the Lord said, remove not the ancient landmark, which is a reflection, okay, as concerning the dimensions which we enter into. The dimensions which we enter into, okay, will be marked for the purpose of not intrusion into another person's or another saint's dimension, not to cross over into another dimension, to the harvest somebody else's dimension. Okay, so here, we go on here. And verse 29, let no crooked communication proceed out of your mouth. That means we're sowing the good seed of charity, not the law. So let no crooked communication proceed out of your mouth, which tokens, of course, perish with time and death. Okay, those things which are the law perish with time and death. Okay, that's corrupt communication. If it's unsanctified, it's corrupt. Okay, if it's sanctified, it's not corrupt. I mean, it bears God's equity, perfection, wholesomeness, purity. Okay, as Jesus said, blessed are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, when the conscience is purified, then we behold him. Those that hear the words of the anointing will behold the face of Christ. They shall see God. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that which has to do with the wholesome knowledge in your prayers and assembly, which is used to edifying, which has to do with building and bonding. The building and bonding. Okay, then it may minister grace unto the hearer. That means it will bridge the gap, because this is the true gospel and the true bread of Christ. It will bridge the gap. Okay, it will bridge the gap. That's one of the things which was brought to the attention of the prophet. Who will stand for me in the breach? Who will stand in the gap? Who will stand for me in the breach? That's the bridge. Well, who is the bridge? What is the bridge? Well, the bridge has to do with the stewardship. Okay, and it's also identified as also a component station in the ship, the bridge of a ship. Of course, we're familiar with that if you watch Star Trek. Okay, whereas the captain is on the bridge. Okay, in other words, he's the one that's overseeing. Okay, the health of the ship, the health of his crew. Okay, the direction. He's following the orders. Okay, of the admiral or whoever's given the orders. Okay, he's following through on that. And it's the same thing with stewardship. Okay, those which are called are standing in a gap. Okay, you're sitting on the chair of the bridge. Okay, and you're watching the direction of the church. Okay, as a porter in a gate. Okay, and so he goes on here, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, when we get to verse 31, you can see what he's talking about. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, the bond and the build. Yet administer grace to bridge the gap. Okay, for this is the true bread of Christ now, that may minister grace to the hearer. This is to fill the soul. Okay, to fill the soul in this believer is Christ seen and heard. To fill the soul in this believer, Christ is seen and heard. And grieve not, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you were sealed. Okay, so how the word grieve not? Okay, because false knowledge removes the presence of God. And removes the presence of God, it also soils the garment. The false knowledge soils the garment. Okay, in other words, he says, why do you not have a garment on? Okay, now remember, Jesus gave that parable. Okay, everyone that attended the festivities of the wedding, okay, were to put on the wedding garments. They were put on the proper garments to attend these festivities, okay, of the rich ruler. Okay, and so as the parable goes, those which were first called did not come. But then suddenly this one individual decides, okay, to visit. Then notice is taken. How is it that you come to my festivities and you don't have on the proper garments? That was an insult. Not only did he come here, okay, based upon your own timeline or based on your own desire. You didn't come when the invitation went out. You only came when it felt convenient, when it was convenient to flow with your aspiration. Not only did you come here without your aspiration, but you come here to affront me with what you want to wear. Bind them hand and foot and cast them out. That's what the Lord said. Okay, and everything that bears its own resemblance, okay, to stand to their own religious principles, okay, will not be accepted in the kingdom of God. So grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, that means don't be double-minded. Don't stand in doubt, the knowledge of doubt. Don't stand in the shadow of Satan, which will only keep you going in circles, religious theological circles. Okay, today's church is like a mental theological circles there. Okay, they're being unprofitable to the soul. Okay, they're not achieving that goal. They're not approaching the goal which God wants them to go to. Okay, because they're following, okay, the false stewards. The false stewards are making them promises, but these promises are keeping them looped to their ignorance. So grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. He goes on. So to bring this to your attention again, don't be double-minded, but use the tokens or gifts of Christ. By these things we are adopted. Okay, we're adopted by His Spirit to salvation. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption has to do with the conclusion of this divine work, which take place in the 10th week, 7th part. 10th week, 2nd, 7th part. Okay, which, of course, Enoch saw. He saw the completion of our redemption there underneath the wings of the Lord. Okay, entering into that baptism of light. Okay, just get your sacrifices ready here. So grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How do you grieve it? You're resourcing the wrong tokens. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. Under the day of redemption, these are the tokens which we're bringing to the altar of fire, His altar of fire for the day of redemption. Okay, when we enter the Father's bosom, okay, completing this journey. Okay, let's jump over to Galatians 5 here for a moment, and we'll read a few things there. Okay, talk about what it is to grieve. Okay, what we are supposed to labor with and not labor with. Okay, in Galatians here. Okay, let's start with verse 17. Now, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and we talk about the flesh, we talk about the issues of the law. For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, which means you can't mix these covenants. Okay, and these are contrary the one to another. Okay, in other words, it will not, if you mix them together, you're not going to achieve the desired result. Okay, that is what God's looking for, the desired result. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, the natural man, are those which the carnal mind work with. The carnal mind of man, okay, works with the natural things. The natural things have to do with whatever springs of the soil is marked by time, okay, or could be consumed by death. Okay, which we're talking about the law. Okay, observing the Sabbath day. Okay, the physical Sabbath day. Okay, or the consumption of the meat offering. Okay, or the slaughtering of the beasts. Okay, the giving of the tithe. Okay, so we see the communion here, the washing, the many washings they had to go through in order to perform the next task. They had to go through the water. They once they offered a sacrifice, they had to take a shower and they had to put on the new garments and go back and perform the task again. Which shows that their repentance was not completed. They're stuck in the cycle of death, see? They're stuck in the cycle of death. That's what water baptism does. It keeps you stuck in the water, into the cycles, okay, in the cycles of death there. So it goes on, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, which works with the moral code. And these are contrary the one to the other. Okay, they cancel each other out and repel each other as water and fire. Contrary to the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Okay, you're restrained from one or the other. Okay, the knowledge you should serve is the God that you obey. The knowledge that you embrace, or the knowledge you serve, is the God that you obey. Okay, so here the Apostle Paul in Galatians is telling the Galatians there, okay, walk in the truth, or Satan will rule your perceptions. You'll be caught under the shadow, okay, of that lie. Now, if you live the Spirit, you're not under the law, as Paul explains it. Okay, so what profit is the law? Okay, that those that don't walk in the Spirit are condemned by the law. That's what Paul's saying. If you don't work with the anointing, you are condemned by the law. Okay, but we don't work by the law, so we're free from the law, and we'd be judged accordingly. Okay, that means rewarded accordingly. Okay, we're rewarded according to the sources which we receive. Okay, so if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, okay, nor under this commendation, nor God's wrath. Okay, now the works of the flesh, that means the physical tokens drive the moral code, okay, which are these. So the face of death is seen in famine. Okay, the famine where the labor is restricted by another power, and your efforts are not received again with increase. This is cursed labor. Okay, so he says the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Okay, and he goes on to address these things, which I'm also going to bring to your attention. Okay, so he begins right here, adultery, because they're struggling with guilt. Okay, guilt, adultery, which is building another's house. Okay, so you might make a note on that, or else you could listen to the lesson again. Okay, and of course make some notations on this, because I'm going to read through this rather quickly because of time's sake. Adultery, which means building another's house. Fornication is resourcing strange knowledge. Uncleanness is walking in a foul conscience. Lasciviousness, pursuing the rhythm of this world of passions that rival one another. Idolatry, honoring the wisdom of man. Witchcraft, projecting the aspirations, okay, with doctrine. Hatred, competing with malice. Okay, variance, to oppose with passions of indifference. Emulation is a step forward to rival outside of pride. Okay, wrath, expressing your protesting with violence. Strife, to injure your neighbor out of pride. Sedition, sowing doubt, dishonoring dignities. Heresy, okay, seeking to control by gossip. Okay, envying, to step forward to dominate intellectually or passionately. Okay, murderers, denying life by to the power of God. And drunkenness, to indulge in distractions of this world. And reveling, okay, which makes the heart sick. Disorients the mind to wander in this derision of darkness. In other words, defile conscience, an evil conscience, seared conscience. And then he says, but follow after these things, of which I tell you before, which I also tell you now in time past and presently, that they which do such things, okay, the ministers who preach the law will sow and labor with these powers, because they're measuring their moral code by the absence or presence of these powers. That's why they're always repenting. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now they will see it, but they will not enter into it. That was the language which Jesus used. Okay? Because they're not reaping life, but desolation. For the moral code is alive, okay, when these evil powers are confirmed in the record of man as their righteousness. Now let's go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is this. Okay? But the invisible sign, the blessedness of Abraham, The invisible sign, the offspring, being the record of Christ, okay, is seen in this source, okay, love, okay, or charity, which begets the joy. What is this joy? It's the seal of completion, okay, which peace, which is the power that preserves the process, okay, through our long-suffering, which is long-suffering, enduring your cycles of regeneration, which softens the drive of the aspirations to compete, called gentleness, okay, and addresses all the habits of life, goodness, okay, which God rewards your petitions as you reflect in faith. Okay, this confidence of your endurance and persuasion births meekness and a new behavior in your temperance. Okay, again, as you listen to the lesson again, you can make your notations on these things. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It's good to memorize these nine things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. See how I had the word no law there. The law cannot negate the anointing, but the anointing can negate the law. I mean, it puts it out of its power. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Okay, those of faith who follow this record and put to death the power, the driving force for this completion. Crucified the flesh, the aspirations. Okay, the crucified flesh with the affections and lusts. Okay, but that which the world admires. Okay, and those that confirm for self-worth. Okay, which the world admires and those which confirm for self-worth. But if we live in a spirit, but if our house is Christ, that means we're engrafted within his vine now. If our house is Christ by this anointing, if we live in a spirit, the anointing which you're doing right now, let us also walk in the spirit. Let us behave as those that are born of him. This is the direction. This is the mobility. Okay, this is the fruit of our labor. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, which we talked about there. Okay, earlier, the works of the flesh, the law. Don't look to thrive on the culture, the race, or tradition of man. The vainglory, the genealogies or race, which so anything that sows self-importance, okay, for dissimulation. Okay, envying one another, he says right here. Okay, provoking one another and envying one another. This is the works of the flesh, even as Hagar was towards Sarah. Okay, Hagar, okay, was that which is of the flesh. And Sarah, okay, that which is of promise, which is of the spirit.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.